We're looking at being a part of something larger than ourselves, being allied with a cause larger than just our own personal concerns. One of the things that the Scripture spends a lot of time with, and I hope that modern Christianity does not lose the sight of, is the idea of a call experience where God, in however He chooses to communicate with you, places a pull or a tug or a draw or a call upon you to let you know that God has a plan for you. The most common one we talk about is a call to ministry. Used to be you never had an ordination experience without part of the question being, tell us about your call to ministry. Tell us about the events and occurrences and happenstances in your life that led you to believe that God had called you into ministry. I've also known others that were called to service. I've known nurses that were called to care for people. Doctors that understood they had a calling. I've known teachers that describe God as calling them to their place of service. You don't talk to Burton Tingle long without understanding that he has a very strong understanding that God called him to teach. You also understand there's often a call to a place where God calls you to come and plant your life in a place to make a difference in that place. The Israelites hauled out of Jerusalem and Judea and into Babylon, and God told them, plant your lives here, make a life, because I have a plan for you. A plan not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. And they're called to a place. I've understood others called to a people or to a people group. In Coach in India, we met with a young couple, and God had called them to work with the people group. And they had taken secular jobs to make sure they could always have entry into the country. And spent the vast majority of their spare time fulfilling their call to a people group. One of the most striking call experiences of the Scripture is one we're going to read out of Acts 16. And it's Paul, when he received the Macedonian vision, and the group of men he was with recognized that there was a direct action from God calling them to go and minister to a specific place. So find for me, if you will, Acts chapter 16. We're going to start reading with verse 1 and go through verse 10 of Acts 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him. And so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone told me, I want you to go traveling with me, but first, I want you to get circumcised. I don't know about you, but I would have to think twice about whether that's a journey I would want to embark upon. I don't believe I'd be jumping in the back seat saying, I got a shotgun. This is now while they're passing through the cities. They're delivering the decrees which have been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go on to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, is anybody here of European ancestry? You know, I think most of us here are of European ancestry. Do you know why this event's important? Because this is when the gospel first went into Europe. Up till this point, the gospel had stayed in Southwest Asia. And when they crossed over into Macedonia from Bithynia, they jumped over the sea and went into Europe for the first time. So personally, I think we have a vested interest in the Macedonian call. Because that's what led the gospel to be preached to our ancestors and our forefathers. Those of us who are of European extraction. And my relatives have been in Europe for years, but you know. The call has a cost. Timothy, I want you to go with me. But first, you're going to sit down, and we're going to take it out, and we're going to slap the first couple inches off that thing. Why does Timothy have to pay the price for Paul's call? Because the call has a cost. And if you think a call from God has a cost just for you, because you all by yourself, you don't understand the nature of call. Because God doesn't call one person. He calls Paul and everybody around him. And if Timothy's going to go on this journey, Timothy's got a cost to pay. How? We talk about Paul's cost and all the stuff he did, the travels he made, and you know, getting beat up and thrown out of the window and all kinds of other things that happened to Paul through his cost. But look at the guys with him. The ones that traveled with him. Okay? You have 4 or 5 folks saying they got a call to go to India and share the gospel. And the whole church helps pay the price. Because a call of God has a cost. And it's not a freebie. God may provide everything necessary, but there is a cost involved in a call. If you don't think so, ask any pastor's kid or missionary's kid. International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention got involved in a lawsuit a few years ago because a young couple felt the call to go to follow God overseas, and they're planning on traveling to a closed country that did not allow missionaries. And so they're getting other means, other occupation in order to travel over there. And as they're preparing to go, as all young couples tend to do, she got pregnant and they had a baby, and the grandchild, all of a sudden, the grandparents realize they're taking our grandchild across the world to a place we can't go. And so they sued everybody and their brother, trying to make it so that their grandkid couldn't go overseas without their permission. Because there's a cost involved to a call. see, we fail to recognize that. And quite frankly, one of the biggest obstacles to fulfilling the call of God upon our lives is we're not willing to pay the cost. We're too caught up in being comfortable. Timothy was very happy, thank you very much, with the way things were. But he recognized the direction and the hand of God, and he said, I'll pay the cost. Now, are we willing to pay the cost to heed the call? And then we find out that the call has some exclusions. They pass through the Phrygian and Galatian regions, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Well, they came to Mysia, trying to go up Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. If you respond to a call, some doors are closed, some areas are off limits, some things you cannot do. And we want to be free, and we want to do whatever we want to, and we want to fulfill every carnal desire we've got. But if we accept a call from God, that automatically excludes other things from our lives. Talked to a young couple one time, and she was angry because he kept talking to his old girlfriend. And he says, well, just because I'm married doesn't mean we can't be friends. Yes, it does. Dummy! That was the official theological word that the pastor counseling the young couple used to describe his actions. Because when you make one choice, you exclude other choices. Some folks think that this following God thing is like going into Baskin Robbins and getting a taste of every flavor there and thinking everything's wonderful. You don't do that too many times at Baskin Robbins before they won't let you come in anymore. No, we're not going to give you 37 tasting spoons every time you come in. You have to actually buy one or the other. Talk about answering the call. But when you make a call, there are exclusions. It means constant choices. And every temptation the devil sends your way is to pull you away from the call. And you have to choose to follow the call and not the other choices. But the other thing this passage teaches about a call is a call has a supernatural action. So here they are trying to get this way and can't go, and trying to get this way and can't go, and it's just not working out, none's working out. And all of a sudden, one night, Paul has a dream. And that dream, he sees this European guy say, hey, come over here. And I want you to notice what happened next. That supernatural action was confirmed by the rest of the group. See, Paul was not some kind of spiritual giant that was the only one that could tell them what God said. You see what the scripture says? We all concluded. They heard what he had to say, and it was important, but they all, as a group, decided. You know, I've been pastor here for a while, and three or four times during the course of that time, I've had someone come up to me and say, God has called me to be the pastor of this church. And I've said, the problem is, God hasn't let me in on it. Nor has he let anyone else in the church in on it. And the funny thing about a call is that when it comes from God, everybody knows. And everybody agrees. and everybody recognizes the action of God. Now, I don't know what would happen if someone came to me and said, I had a dream. I think it would depend on who they were. If the first thought out of my mind is, what drugs did you take before you went to bed? Chances are, we're not going to buy into the dream. But if it's someone who's always stable and sober and invested in the life of the church, we're at least going to listen. And we're going to expect the indwelling Holy Spirit to either confirm or deny what's being said. And as we pray together, there's either going to be a sense of agreement or a sense of disagreement. Because when there's a supernatural action of God, the people of God respond. And it may take them a little bit, but they usually do the right thing. And that's what they did. You see, we work as a body of believers, not soul practitioners. And so the question comes down to, will we heed the call? Acts 1:8 says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and in the other most parts of the earth. You'll be my witnesses in Green Valley and Arizona and the Indian reservations and wherever God for second place I can think of to send you. Because we have a call. The question comes whether or not we heed the call. We pay the cost. And we ignore the obstacles. And get directed the way He wants us to. And make the right choices to get there. And then agree together as a body of believers that God has called. Do you realize Easter's only a few weeks away? I want you all to do something for me. I want each one of you to pick one person somewhere within your world of experiences. Someone that's not here this morning. And I want you to intentionally target them and say, I want you to come with me sometime during the plethora of services we have at Easter time. And say, I want you to hear about the living Lord. Who's coming back again on Easter. Maybe it's come with you on the Thursday night because they're interested in that kind of historical teaching for the Lord's Supper. Maybe come with you on Friday night because it costs you to buy dinner for them so that they can see about the crucifixion. Or come on Sunday morning because they get hungry and need breakfast. Or whatever need they've got. Somebody that you're going to pointedly target to bring. And if each one of us brought one, we'd have a full house. There's a call. Will you heed the call? Do what God has called us to do. To be who God has called us to be at the place where God has called us to. Will we be a part of something greater than ourselves? Have the honor of being a part of a task beyond us. Will we heed the call? Let's pray. Father, please touch our hearts and lives. Help us to hear your word and to follow you and to do what you say and to heed the call. Target one person to come with us on Easter. And say, Lord, we are your people making a difference for you. Father, I pray that you touch us and move us and mold us and make us who you want us to be, because we are your people. For it's in Christ's name we pray.